for several years, and then I had this one beat that I was making. I had chopped this video of this lady having a phobia of clowns.
Yeah,
and so she was like saying like oh gosh and screaming, and I had no idea I was gonna call myself this, by the way.
Yeah,
so I was chopping this the sample up, and then all of a sudden I started putting that clip of the oh gosh, like my tag,
yeah,
and like the beginning of all my beats. I'm like, you know what? Let me just go ahead and call myself. Oh gosh,
yeah. That's what you hear at the beginning of the beats. Is that oh gosh.
Yeah, and what's funny is I recently found that beat. I was just like going through old beats, or whatever, and I found it because I couldn't find it for like the longest.
Yeah,
and I was like, I had like my Chill Palace brothers. I was telling you earlier, I'm here. One of them here actually. And I was like, yo, this is the beat that started everything. Like, this is the what started my name. So, yeah, that's all I got.
You should find her.
I want to get back to
find her somewhere.
I have the video. I should find her. Give her credit.
I want to get back to the name thing. Let's start the show though.
Okay.
All right. But don't flush the toilet. You are now tuned in to the Crappy Awesome Podcast. And welcome to another as of yet unnamed episode of the Crappy Awesome Podcast. We're your hosts, the Diego Brown Project. I am Mr. Arash, even though nobody calls me Mr. And with me is Kill C-Ray, even though we'll just call him Chris.
Yo, saw that mix?
Wow. Jumped in really
You slowed down, though. You slowed
Did
down.
Did I?
Yeah, yeah.
I was enunciating. I was articulating.
Yeah, I'm not used to that.
I think you're just being impatient.
No.
We're, of course, brought to you by Platform Collection. Make sure you go over to platformcollection.com and check out all the content that's on there. There's music videos and essays and photography.
Yep.
It's a big thing on there now.
Mm-hmm.
Music videos, of course, as always. And while you're there, you check out our sibling podcasts. There is Culture Sessions, hosted by Melathion and Archive, and produced by Spock Beats.
Spock Beats.
Proof of Life Radio, hosted by Kali.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah, and that's it.
But the Friday Up, wait, is that a podcast?
No,
that's a radio show. Never mind. Don't worry about that. I'll get back to that in just a second.
Yeah.
Life on the Road with 60 East. That's another podcast that's happening there. Really, though, with Cookbook of LA Symphony, Orchestrated, hosted by Noah James and Lisa J.
Yeah.
The Status Escalate podcast, also hosted by Kali.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ghetto Blaster podcast, hosted by Ricochet.
Yeah.
So far.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how do we transition into telling him about Shoemix Hologram Radio?
That's your job.
Man, that's a weird one.
You're the voice of the beginning.
So the newest addition to the Platform Collection movement is Shoemix Hologram Radio. The Shoemix Hologram podcast is still happening on mm-hmm. Platform Collection, right?
Yep.
Okay. So Shoemix Hologram podcast, but then there's also Shoemix Hologram Radio,
yeah,
which is powered by Platform Collection,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to have various shows on there, tons of music.
24 hours a day.
Right.
Right.
One of those shows is hosted by you.
Yeah.
And that is the Friday Come Up. No, Friday Up.
Yep.
No Come Up.
No Come Up.
Why
you're not
Friday
coming up?
Up,
guys. I'm not giving you anything. Like, you can't take anything home with you.
You're giving them some flavor.
Yeah,
you're giving them some.
But
swag.
They gotta give it right back.
Yeah,
when they're done.
We exchange the energy.
We just let you use it.
Yeah, but that's why you had to step down from Proof of Life Radio.
Yeah, because we're just spreading out the resources a little.
Right,
bit.
Right, right.
I'll be dropping in on Proof of Life every once in a while, though.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what's up. So, where can people find Shoemix Hologram Radio?
You can find it on TuneIn. Mm-hmm. You can just search Shoemix Hologram Radio.
Yeah.
It's on TuneIn, streaming 24 hours a day. Or you can go to Platform Collection. Or you can go to shoemixhologram.com, and they all take you to the same place.
Beautiful.
There's streaming there. On the website, there's a pop-out player, so you can just have it playing in the background. Do whatever you want to do.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
All right. So movement keeps expanding. And of course, follow us on Instagram at Platform Collection. That is one word all spelled out. And on Twitter at Platform Collect.
Notion.
With Notion.
Yep.
Tour project.
Sponsor the word?
Either
like friends.
Yeah. Go support Tour Project if you want a more private web browsing experience. Learn more over at tourproject.org. That's spelled T-O-R and then project. I hope you know how to spell project.
Yeah.
That would be unfortunate.
Yeah.
If you couldn't.
Not Thor Project.
Yeah.
Way.
Not Thor. Not like the Avengers. Yeah.
T-O-R.
Yo. And of course, note. Not a shout out.
Mm-hmm.
Also note.
Yes.
Burner Podcast. That's over at burnerpodcast.com. And the main show on there is hosted by yours truly, the longest running regular audio show about the Burning Man community.
Woo woo.
Episode 50, recorded that yesterday.
Wow, you're there already.
Yeah, yeah.
That seems quick.
The big 5-0.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, tell them about Stitcher and iTunes and all that stuff.
Yeah, if you're listening to this on Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Spreaker, you can go over to platformcollection.com. You'll get all the stuff that Arash just said, plus all our episodes back to episode 65. If you want to go any farther than that, go to any of our friends on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio.
All right.
All that good stuff. Guys, thank you for your support. The numbers keep going because of you guys. And as Arash said, we've expanded into the photographer world. So you're going to see a lot more of that and a lot more. We got B-boys coming up.
Yeah.
People you might know of. A lot of trendsetters in that game as well.
Is it going to be B-boying like on the website?
I don't know.
Is it going to be videos?
It's not going to be me.
Okay.
I won't do it.
You can't do a head spin?
I'll hurt myself really bad.
Yeah.
I could see myself trying to B-boy and then like dying, like an actual death.
Yeah.
Like I could see myself being killed.
Here lies Kilcire.
Yeah, like any of the moves I've seen lately.
His name was so fortuitous.
They'd kill me. They would kill me for sure.
Kilcire with head spin.
Like, do you think that you could do a backflip and land onto your back on the ground?
No, I think I could just land on my back.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. But wouldn't that just kill you? Probably.
Would I die?
Smash your head into the ground?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Oh. I already said, oh, gosh, on accident.
Yeah. Well, oh, gosh, Leotis is here today. Like gasoline for water with my dialogue. I backwash to my bin ass and mazel talk. But these dudes don't hear me. If I speak any louder, you probably think I was yelling from a mountaintop. But is that enough? Yeah. Oh no, it never is. What the fuck is something we never give? I make shit look easy. Sorry to cut the flame down a little, but this beat got a bit too breezy. I see they gon' try to take it from me. Won't get that back. Please don't make me have to hurt nobody. I take that back. I am really for the action. I'ma last the whole damn night. Hold it down like acres right now. Why the fuck you hate my life? Fight, I'm open for some self-destruction. My way until I die. Fight, I'm open for some self-destruction. Play around with my life. Fight, I'm open for some self-destruction. Die and die. Fight, I'm open, nigga, self-destruction. Wait, hold on, let me break the ice. Well. What do we have here? Give me that puss, send me that to a pap smear. I thought I was mad clear, said it the first time. Money, think I get it from birthright. I run with the cutthroats, drink your knife fight. They play with your life like a tight to a slot, right? What's your damage, bro? Now take that L like Samuel. I can't do this shit no longer. I'm watching her, just fucking watching her like I'm a stalker. She's a stripper, this is a dollar. Now do stuff that isn't proper. Like, producer extraordinaire. Dude, you're one of those guys who's been talked about on multiple episodes with multiple guests. And we've never met. And you've done some of the... I actually think... Did you do baggage claim for Fame Kills? I don't know. You did some video. You've done stuff that we've worked on, like for promotion wise as well. And Fame has shouted you out on the show a lot of times. Curtis has, Noah has.
And sometimes we ask people questions and they're trying to think what to say. They're like, oh gosh.
Yeah, and then people are like, oh. So you're constantly on the show. But now you're finally on the show.
Ever present.
Yeah. Producer. Dude, first of all, we have to have a conversation with Curtis.
Yeah.
Because. Oh gosh, put us onto a production crew. And how many times have we sat at Curtis's house? I just talked about it on Proof of Life Radio the other day. I've been on his sofa that stabs you in the butt when you sit on it.
Right. I think that's just your butt.
Oh, no, dude. You got to sit at the corner. No. You've never sat at the corner.
No. My butt's good.
It could hurt you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you Oh Gosh knows what I mean. He's probably sat on that sofa a few times.
I'm always sitting in the chair working.
Oh, very good. Very, very so smart.
I will never know.
But yeah, he's part of a production crew with you.
Yes.
Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we're called the Chill Palace. It's me, Curtis.
Chip House.
The Chill Palace.
Chill Palace.
Yes.
Okay.
It's me, Curtis, Nabian, Captain, and Villain. We're all based in the IE.
Yeah.
And we kind of had this idea to put this group together because of, I did this beat battle like a long time ago. I think maybe 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And one of the producers that was judging the battle was kind of like saying like all these things about IE producers, how they're like very underground and they have like a specific sound.
Yeah.
And he kind of got offended by it. Yeah. A little bit.
Curtis did.
Yeah, Curtis. Okay. Yeah. We kind of, we all did.
Curtis got mad? Curtis, no.
He didn't get mad. It was just kind of, okay, we're going to kind of, you know, put something together and show you guys what we're really about.
Yeah.
As far as, like, our sound.
Because he said the sound was underground. What did he mean by that?
Like, he's...
What did you guys assume that he was meaning by that?
I feel
like underdeveloped sound?
Not underdeveloped, just more in a pocket as far as, like, you know,
they
the
can
boom
only
bap.
Do one thing.
Yeah, pretty much, like, boom, like the simple boom bap.
Yeah.
Like, we can do a lot more than that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Me and Curtis were kind of like, yeah, we should put this together and show them, like, you know, what we can really do, what we're really capable of.
Yeah.
So, that kind of what brought the group together. And we are really close. We grew up, especially my cousins, they're part of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, we all have we have a role around this sound.
Well, what is the advantage to being part of a production crew?
Man, it's crazy.
Like, what do you do? How do you work together?
Well, we all have busy schedules, but when we get together, it's super fun, man. Like, it's super inspiring, and we get together, and we're just like, what are we doing today? And then, like, I'll start something not having no idea what I'm going to do. And then once, you know, someone else gets in the chair, you know, they take it from there. And all of a sudden, we're just like, okay, this is it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's a crazy experience.
Like, somebody comes in with a bass line, then the next person's like, all right, I got the kicks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'll start the keys, and Captain will lay the bass line and drums, and then we'll just go from there.
Right.
You know, that's awesome. Like that. Have you guys... Like, are each of the members, or do you guys have any, like, go-to people you go to for, like, oh, I really like his drums the most, or I like his bass lines the most, or does it just switch all the time?
Well, we're all musically inclined.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's just pretty much how it's based off who starts it off.
Or how
we're starting it off. So,
yeah.
Like, if I'm starting keys... Like, most of the time, if I start keys, I'm going to do bass line and, like, everything else.
Yeah.
And if I'm climbing with, like, whoever, like, Nabian or Villain, they're going to do the drums.
Okay.
And then I'll get back into it, and I'll add drums here and there, and then they'll maybe add, like, leads and, you know, just
wow, that's
all types
cool.
of harmonies and whatnot. So it's really just based off of what, you know,
the feel is.
How it's being, so yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's back up. This is your first time on the show, so let's get you properly introduced to the audience.
Okay.
How old are you right now?
25.
You're 25. Brothers and sisters?
I have a little brother and a little sister, yes.
Little brother and little sister. Okay. Both your parents still around?
Yes.
Okay. You grew up with both your parents?
Mm-hmm.
What do your parents do?
My dad works for a company called Fish.
Okay.
It's a window cleaning company.
And your mom?
She stays at home.
Stays at home. Okay. Yeah. Either one of them artistically inclined, from what you know?
No. My dad sings a little bit, but he never, like, took it serious or anything
okay.
like that.
Okay. But he had an ear, though.
I guess you could say, yeah. Because his mom, my grandma, she's a singer, and she, like, toured all, like, all around the world and
there
stuff
you
like
go.
That.
Okay, so in the house, was there a lot of music going on?
As far as it being played, no, but, and when I mean played, I mean, like, you know, like...
Yeah,
actual instruments.
But my dad played a lot of music as far as, like, R&B and West Coast type music, yeah.
Okay.
A lot of soulful sounds.
Gotcha. Okay, so, what kind of kid were you growing up? If you had to, like, say one of your high school teachers had to describe you or, you know?
Man, I was super quiet to myself. I was always outside playing with my friends.
Did you have a large group of friends?
No. Not really. And all my friends were musicians, too.
Oh, okay.
Musicians and skaters, because I used to skate back in the day as well.
No longer skating?
No longer skating. I had to stop that and focus on music. I wasn't trying to hurt myself.
Yeah.
So I didn't really have much friends. And then when I did, there was like my marching band friends in high school.
So were you overall what people would call a good kid? Like, was there a consensus he's a good kid?
Yeah,
he stays out of trouble?
I was probably that good kid. Like, I remember the first time I got detention, I cried.
Because
I didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah,
I've been there. But
they beat you in there.
Man.
With whips.
I thought detention was the most horrible thing. But yeah, I was, all around good kid.
What was it for, by the way?
I do not remember. I think I accidentally hit a kid.
Oh.
Like, it was, like, super accidental. We were in PE.
Yeah.
And we were being stupid in the locker room. And I, like, actually, like, swung and hit him. And I was, like, it was, like, complete accident.
Yeah.
And the teacher's like, I'm going to have to give you detention.
Oh, then, wow. Because you got to keep your hands to yourself.
Of course.
That's the rule. You know the rule.
Did the other kid complain?
Nah, he knew it was an accident.
So everybody was like, no, 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 I don't want to press charges. He's like, nah.
Hey, the rules of the world, nah, homie.
I didn't hit him that bad. I just hit him enough to where he started crying.
Yeah.
And it was like my freshman year of high school, so.
And that kid grew up to be Floyd Mayweather.
Dude, you hit a kid on accident hard enough where he started crying as a freshman in high school?
Well, yeah. If you think about it, like, say you're just swinging your arms and pap, and he runs into you.
I mean, I guess, like,
if you get him in the nose.
Arms made out of concrete, that makes sense.
If I just racked you on the nose real quick, you might start getting teary-eyed.
Really?
I'm not saying, like, emotionally, but I would think that
that's
you're...
That's where I hit him. I hit him in the nose.
Yeah, like, so your eyes will start to, like, tear up. Yeah.
I don't know. Sounds
I'll smack you in the face as soon as we leave.
All right, okay. For experiment's sake.
Yeah. Okay, so let's back up a little bit. How were you introduced into, like, the musical side? Were you taking lessons? What was going on? How did you get into music?
The story. Okay, so yeah. I didn't start doing music, like, as far as producing. Mm-hmm. I didn't start doing that seriously till, like, after high school. I was producing in high school, like, around 11th grade.
Yeah.
What were you working on then?
Nothing. I was just like, I was actually working on myself, like trying to figure out how to use, you know, the program and play keys and whatnot.
Well, what program is that like?
Fruity Loops.
Fruity Loops, okay.
Yeah. But what really got me into music though was joining the marching band my freshman year in high school.
Okay.
And so I was a drummer. I played bass drum and I worked my way up to snare drum.
Wait, did you learn that in high school? Learned how to play the drums in high school?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what started everything, was marching band in high school.
And then that explains the friends that were all musicians.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. So you're there, you start to, I assume, find that you have a knack for the drums, mm-hmm. which then leads to other instruments?
Yeah.
Okay. But when does the light turn on and like, oh, wait a minute, I want to be fucking hip-hop producer. I actually want to do this, you know what I mean, for a living. Like, when does that pop into your
what's
mind?
What's funny is that... like I said, I use the program called Fruity Loops.
Yeah.
My cousins, Captain and Villain, which is also in the Chill Palace, they were using Fruity Loops like a long time ago. I never knew what it was back then.
Yeah.
I remember going to their houses as a kid and like see them using it. And I was like, I want to know what that is. But I didn't figure it out till like years later.
Yeah.
Once I like saw someone else using it, I'm like, oh, I recognize that program.
Yeah.
So I got it for myself and then I just started playing with it. I had no idea what I was doing.
Did anybody know you were like pursuing?
No, not at all.
No, it was just something you were doing for yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I didn't really come out like as a producer until I knew like I was decent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
how do you find that out? Like if you're not like working with like a bunch of other people, how did you determine like, okay, I'm pretty good at this?
I remember in high school, my senior year, some dude came up to me because like I would show my friends like on my iPod, like,
right.
Look at this thing I put together. He wants like rap on it.
Yeah.
And that's when I was kind of like, I never thought about anybody ever rapping over my beats.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't even the thing. I was just kind of making them just for fun.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So.
How did you feel about that?
Were
you nervous?
Because usually people would be like honored or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe, you know, it was me. I was pretty nervous. I'm like, I don't know what you're going to do to this. Like,
yeah.
This is more of like just for me to listen to. You know what I'm saying? But.
You didn't know if you were ready to start sharing it.
Yeah. I was, yeah, pretty much.
So did that force you into that situation?
I'm sorry?
Did that force you into a situation of where. Now I'm like, because you were technically, you were making beats, but you were never in the role of a producer.
Yeah.
Until this time, right?
Yeah, I was just a beat maker. Like,
yeah.
Like, I was never really scared to show people stuff, but I was just kind of like people actually want to rap on it. You know, that's what really got me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then I remember when I sold my first beat was my graduation. My high school graduation was the first time I ever sold a beat.
Mm.
And that's when I was kind of like, you know what, that's when I...
How did that happen at high school graduation?
I have a cousin that has his cousin. He raps or whatever.
Yeah.
And he heard my beats because I would give my like my MP3 files to my cousin.
Yeah.
And he would just like show them to people. I didn't want him to because I was still kind of like shy
about
my music or whatever. But
he was managing you.
Yeah, low key.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. But he showed him the music and he was like, yo, I want to buy some beats off of you. And he was pretty serious. I'm not sure if he does music now because that was a long time ago. But, he bought it. He came to my graduation. He came to my house. All my family was there. And I'm on the computer, like, showing him some beats, whatever. And he bought this one beat. And I was like, this is pretty cool. I made money off of something that I didn't even take serious.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of what started everything.
How was the beat? Did you like that beat that you sold?
At the time, yeah. If I listen to it, I don't even think I have the beat now.
But, did you like him?
Yeah, he was a cool dude.
Yeah,
he was
super
cool. I haven't talked to him in years, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was a cool dude. The song was dope that he did on top of it. But yeah, that's kind of what started everything. Like, that's what made me want to, like, take music seriously.
So, what was it, almost immediate? You sold that beat and then you were like, oh, this is what I want to do. Okay, so, I mean, because we have a lot of young producers that listen, there's people that are barely starting out as well. Mm-hmm. What's the leap from, yo, I sold a beat from, I was making it for myself first, I sold a beat and now I need to become a business? Like, how do you make that transition? Because obviously we're sitting in your studio right now. It's not a small investment. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's not like you could just go to Target and pick up all this shit and yeah, I'm good to go. Yeah. There's thousands of dollars in your studio. So that means that there's an investment in time being put into that.
And the address is.
No. Yeah. And so you jump from pretty much a high school graduate going out into the world to like, oh shit, I need to start investing time into this thing. So what are your first few moves to start going in that direction?
Man, well, after I sold that first beat, I didn't sell beats to anybody. Like, it did take me a while to actually start, like, selling beats to people. Yeah. Or, like, actually getting myself heard.
Yeah.
So, between the time of me selling that beat.
Happened when I lost my virginity.
Yeah, yeah.
You get laid again for, like, 5 years.
Man, but what is it? Yeah, from when I sold that beat to when I started, like, going to shows and, you know, showing my craft or whatever. I was just practicing, like, a lot. Because, like, I would hear all this music. Because I think around that time, Drake was, like, just coming out. Yeah. And I wanted to, like, make beats that was like that. And I was listening to, like, a lot of hip-hop stuff, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was just trying to figure myself out as far as, you know, a musician and whatnot. And I was like, before I really start taking it serious, like, because I don't want to be able to just sell, but as far as, you know, marketing myself. I didn't want to just, like, have just one sound. I wanted to be super versatile.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was just, like, practicing, like, different ways to, you know.
To make new sounds, like, and new beats.
Yeah, pretty much, like, arrange my drums and play keys and whatnot. Just, like, just different arrangements.
Yeah. So it took how long? A good...
Maybe, like, a year or two. Because I was still selling beats to that same artist.
Yeah, yeah,
For a minute. But then once I started, like, getting out and... And I think I was ready pretty much when I started going to shows.
Yeah.
Like, I had a wide variety of beats and people were just hitting me up. And
so were you going to shows purposely to put yourself out there? Or were you just taking in the shows and you happened to meet the artists?
Pretty much. I was going to shows really cool. I had a band back in the day called Thursday Night Out. And that's kind of how I got, you know, in the scene.
Yeah.
The music scene out here.
Playing drums in the band?
I was playing keys at the time. And I was actually learning to play keys. I was in the band. So that helped me out as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was, like, introduced, like, to a lot of the artists around and whatnot. Yeah. But we broke up. And then I was still going to the shows because I thought it was, you know, a cool environment. And then if people were starting to figure out that I made beats, I remember going to my cousin Captain, his release for his beat album. I forgot what it was called.
Uh-huh.
But that's when I kind of started getting recognized to people, and people were, like, knowing that I was a producer.
Yeah.
Because I was around him a lot. And then I did my first beat battle, and I lost.
Yeah.
And
do you know who you lost to? Do you remember?
I lost to Curtis King.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I lost to Curtis King, and after that day, that, like, changed my whole perspective of making beats.
Why?
Because it was the first round. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like when the event started.
Yeah.
They said, Curtis King, you know, got you to the stage. And I got on the stage and I lost and I was hurt because I drove all the way to Riverside and I lost and I didn't get to show off any of my other beats.
Uh-huh.
And I like went into hiding. Like, I didn't talk to anybody for a minute. Like, I was just really like, I'm about to just make nothing but beat battle beats.
Yeah.
So,
because you wanted to avenge the loss.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wait, back up a little bit. So, did you lose? Did you feel like you lost?
Yes.
Yeah.
At first, no. But now that I think back and look at, like, what he played and what I played, yeah, he for sure, like, he smashed. Like,
yeah.
He killed me for sure.
Yeah.
But once I, you know, came back to the next beat battle, I haven't lost a beat battle since.
Yeah. Wow. How long ago was that?
That, 2012, 2013.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So you literally just went home and so the loss just fueled like your development as a producer.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you ever battle Curtis again?
Yes, I did. And then I ended up beating him.
Yeah.
But it's funny though, because like
that's like a movie.
Yeah.
I'm hearing the Rocky theme in my head.
He's all in his room. I mean, I must win.
So you got knocked out by one of the best though. So
yeah,
I mean,
Curtis King is dope, man.
Yeah.
That is an honorable loss.
Yeah.
And then you avenged it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. it was a crazy thing. I didn't think I was going to be, like, winning all the battles after that. I mean, I don't think I'm, like, you know, crazy dope, but that's just what was happening.
Yeah.
You know, I just knew what to bring to beat battles.
Yeah. Okay, so
I'm sorry. Yeah, I want you to elaborate on that some more. Like, what sorts do you think? Like, there are certain kinds of beats that work in battles better than something you'd produce for.
Definitely.
What sorts of things?
Anything that's hard hitting. It's like West Coast boom bap, and if it's mixed right and it's swinging right as far as the drums, you're good to go.
Okay.
I mean, it also depends on the judges. Like, a lot of judges out here like the hip hop sound, the West Coast swing, you know, all of that. If you're playing like R&B and trap, like, I don't think it's gonna work out unless you're playing a trap beat against another trap beat.
Yeah.
In that case, then you might win because you're gonna pick the best trap beat.
Yeah.
But most of the time, I was bringing like West Coast and, you know, boom bap type records.
What do you have like in your arsenal when you go to a beat battle? Like, are you always ready with backups, or are you? Because I know some producers who do beat battles a lot, and they're always playing off of the other person. And then there's some that just come; they're gonna play what they're gonna play no matter what. Where do you fall?
I literally bring 10 beats, and then I just play what I have.
Yeah. And in any order, or do you already have like a preconceived notion of how you're
going
to play it?
It depends on who I'm going against. So if I'm going against like somebody that I feel somewhat threatened by, then I'm going to just play something crazy.
Yeah.
You know, or if I just know I'm going to win or whatever, I'll just play something like that I can just like waste. Because you can't like waste your type.
Yeah. I've seen that happen a lot.
Yeah, I've seen that happen too. Mm-hmm. It sucks. But I just bring like 10, 12 beats and just call it.
Yeah.
I tell myself, just bring the hardest beats that you have. Don't sit there and put like 20, 30 beats on a flash drive and just play by ear.
Yeah.
Like, if you know you're dope and you know you have dope beat battle beats, you'll win.
Interesting, man. I don't know how much you follow like fighting and stuff, but some of the best fighters in the world train in that very same way. Like, I've heard a lot of the greatest fighters talk about how they don't train for the opponent because that's like, it's giving the opponent too much.
Right.
Yeah. You just got to train your best skill set and just know that skill set is. Believe in that skill set, and that skill set will defeat whoever.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter what they're going to do.
I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks, but the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times.
Yeah.
Bruce Lee. Oh, look at you dropping quotes on the show.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I butchered the quote, but
no, I get exactly what you mean.
You forgot that at the beginning of that sentence, he said, "This is not true."
No, I've been to beat battles where I was just going to go watch.
Yeah.
And they thought that I was going to, you know, enter the beat battle. And they're like, "Oh, I made beats just for you, just so I can, you know, have some type of advantage or maybe an advantage."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Don't do that. Like, this."
Yeah. Because I'm not even in the battle now. Yeah, what are you going to do?
But not even just that. Even if I was in the battle, don't just make stuff for me. Just make what you think is dope. You know what I'm saying? You're your own producer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. That's just how I feel. Like, I'm not going to make beats because I know if I use this beat, it's going to beat this producer. And, you know, so on. I'm just going to make this dope stuff.
Yeah.
And then go there ready.
Okay, so how do you strive from I mean, how do you go from, so you're bee battling, but there's obviously a transition into becoming like a full-fledged producer and getting behind songs and structuring stuff. Mm-hmm. When did you get the first opportunity to really do that, to sit with an artist and really produce a song?
I think when I started producing for an artist named Calligraphy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Calligraphy.
We've had him on a couple of times.
Yeah, that's my homie. I did a project with him a long time ago called The Pessimist.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the first album that I produced, like, with just being all me. And I got to sit there and record it and all that. As far as, like, the difference between making, you know, records and then beat battle beats, you just, everything is just knocking.
Right.
No structure.
Yeah.
Everything is just punching.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? With records, it has to have some type of structure to where it doesn't sound repetitive. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting throughout the whole song.
Yeah.
And I had the opportunity to, you know, do that with him.
Yeah.
And especially with the Curtis King album, Jubilee Year.
Yeah.
Like, I had a lot of fun on that album.
Yeah.
And, with that being said, like, those two guys.
It's like in a beat battle, it's, you know, you've got, like, it's like an elevator pitch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got that 1 minute.
It really is, right?
Catch someone's attention, right?
Yeah, because it's a limited amount of time for the audience to hear it.
Whereas, like, a production, like a song, it's like you're sitting down and having a conversation with somebody.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to be able to get through the nuances. And
I mean, and some of the best songs reveal themselves, like, days or months or years after, you know, because they just sit there in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. We, like I said, dude, you've been one of those names that people just drop on the show, and I kept hearing it. And the last time we sat down with Curtis, I was like, yo, I really want to get Ogosh on here, because one of the things that I find really interesting, especially with an artist like Curtis, right, is that he's a producer.
Mm-hmm.
But and then there's that feeling as a rapper and a producer when you hand over, you know, that part of the creative side to another person. Like, there has to be, like, this trust there. But there also has to be, like, I'm assuming that at this point you've produced for some really great artists and for yourself. What is a way to make an artist feel comfortable, like, when you're in the studio? Like, what's the vibe got to be for you? Can you produce it under any vibe, or do you like to shoot for...
Yeah, I mean... If when I have a new artist that I'm working with for the first time, I'll sit here to have a conversation with him or her.
Yeah.
I'll say, well, what's your vibe right now? Like, what are you listening to?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to just, you know, sit here and just work. You know what I'm saying? I want to be able to get to know the person, see where their head is at, see what they like to listen to. Because I feel like I can create a lot of things as far as music.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'll have people come in here and say they wanted some live stuff, and I'll do that.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, well, I just fill them out and see where their head is at, and then I'll just, like, play things. Like, I'll just play beats that's similar to what they want,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll start from scratch and we'll just go from there. And sometimes they'll be even, like, writing the song, and then we'll structure it as I'm creating the beat.
Yeah, yeah. You know, do you ever have situations where it's just not clicking?
As of lately, no.
Yeah.
Everything that I've been doing so far, especially since I moved here, it's been super smooth.
Yeah.
Like, there's no distractions. Because I used to stay at my parents' house. That's kind of, like, where everything started.
Yeah.
But, no, I haven't had any situations like that lately. Those times when I had, like, the people come over,
mm-hmm.
and they'll say, we need a beat like this, or we want to do a record like that. But they're just, like, too serious, you know what I'm saying? I like to make everything fun and, you know, easy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The funner it is, the easier and faster things are to go by. You know what I'm saying? So.
Do you feel like you attract a certain type of artist? Like, if an artist gets to hear your sound, are they usually like similar type of people? Have you noticed that through your production?
Wait, what do you mean exactly?
Like, I'm thinking, like, off the top of my head, like, the two that we know the most are Fame and Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happens that they're also friends, and they can vibe out together.
Yeah.
And then each one of them vibes with you. Like, and maybe you've never thought about it, but if you look back now, are those, like, and they're both people of, like, really great character as well. They're just good people. Do you find that you attract those types of artists mostly, or are you getting artists in where you're like, well, we probably wouldn't be friends outside of the studio, but we work good in the studio?
Yeah, I have a couple artists that come in here that I work with, but I don't hang out with them.
Yeah,
it's like that. We just work, and I'll go to their shows to come to my shows.
Yeah,
but that's it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? But, like, with me and Curtis, We went to Sky Zone the other day. Like, that's like one of my best friends.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
So you went to what the other day?
Sky Zone. We went to Sky Zone on Friday.
What is Sky Zone?
It's a trampoline park.
Mm-hmm.
It's a trampoline park?
Yeah.
It's a whole park of trampolines?
Well, you know, Curtis is doing the trampoline thing.
No.
Yeah, he talked about it on the last show. He bought a trampoline.
Oh, I remember
that.
He
has a little one in the house.
And yeah, yeah.
He's jumping up and down. He's trying to find, he loves the trampoline. It's part of his thing.
And so there's an entire park that has trampolines?
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Called Sky Zone?
Yeah, there's one in San Diego.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we went there. I love that place. I've been going there since, like, forever ago. Yeah.
And you do backflips? Like, what do you do there?
I'd backflip, front flip, side flip, dodgeball, basketball, all that.
Wait, so there's games and stuff, too?
Oh, yeah. It's like a kids' park. Like, you know, one. I mean, there's a lot of adults there.
We have, like, listeners in, like, Australia. Like, I'm trying to give them an
idea. Dude, I'm pretty sure they're pretty common now, right? Okay. There's a lot of them all over the place. Yeah. So,
well, they're even coming up with all kinds of trampoline parks. Like, and they're not even called Sky Zone.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I love that place, man. Like, I don't know what it is. When I go there, I feel like a kid.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. I get a lot of inspiration when I'm there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm there and I'm, like, enjoying myself.
Yeah.
And I don't have to think about anything. Like, I'm just jumping my heart away.
Yeah,
you know
what I'm saying? So, I mean, it probably puts you in a mental state where you're just wide open to like good energy, and that's all that's around you.
Can I trampoline at 6'5", 220 pounds?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is it a really big trampoline?
Yes, their trampolines are huge. It's probably as big as this rug right here.
Yeah, I think they're Olympic quality trampolines as well.
Wait, this rug is not that big, though.
They have bigger ones, too. Okay.
There's a bunch of them, though.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been to a park with my godkids.
Yeah.
And they had one where it was like, they were about the size of this rug, which is, that's like five by five.
It might be a little bigger than this.
Yeah. But they're just lined up. Like, completely. It's like a whole floor of them. That's so you're just jumping from, you know.
Oh, you can jump from trampoline to trampoline.
Well, at this one you can,
Are people, like, smacking into each other when they're jumping from trampoline?
The people that work there will make sure you don't. That doesn't happen. But this is a super fun place. You got to go one day.
I think you should go with Curtis. Yeah, this is the best thing I've learned today. I'm satisfied with my day of podcasting.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, all right.
All the value in this show.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so you and Curtis go trampolining. That's so hip hop.
Yeah, yeah. But that's how tight you guys are. Yeah. So he's talked very highly of you. Dude, I didn't know that Captain was your cousin.
Yeah.
That's interesting, too, because it's just another name that I hear a lot.
I think Curtis actually said that on
the show. Fame talks about him as well. And,
Fame and Captain did a whole project together. I think a couple of them.
Yeah. So that's, how much older is Captain than you?
I always forget how old he is. I think he's 28, 29.
Okay. So, but he's a few years older than you.
Yeah.
So, man, because I always find it weird.
Yeah.
Not weird, but it's like when there's that much talent in a family. Like, you know
what
I mean?
It's
unfair. Well, because sometimes, here's just a weird one.
The Jacksons?
Noah would appreciate this one. So there's a wrestler. What is her name?
Ronda Rousey.
No, she's Snoop Dogg's cousin.
Huh?
It just happened to, like, she was the champion.
Yeah.
In WWE. And it just so happened that she was, like, Snoop Dogg's first cousin.
Yeah.
Like, how do you get the roll of the dice that close? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that'd be, like, you and then, you know, you start a radio, you're on a radio show, and then your cousin's a rapper, and then this. How does that happen?
It seems like that's pretty common, though, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like the lineage, there's always a lineage. Like, it's a lot harder to break out of a family where, like, nobody's supporting your endeavors.
Yeah, there's, like, at least there's a level of understanding of what these guys are doing in their family, right?
Yeah.
What do your parents think? Like, do they get it yet?
No, now that I'm in my own house, they definitely get it now.
Yeah.
Because that's what I do to pay the bills.
Right.
So, I mean, at first it was kind of like, you need to go to school, you need to do this. I mean, I am going to school.
Yeah.
But they didn't really take it as serious as I did.
Yeah.
But now that they see me being successful and doing records with so-and-so and whatnot, like, they're really supportive.
Yeah, because they know it pays the bills now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one thing parents always do. They just want to know that you're going to pay the bill. They want to know that you're not going to come back at some point and just die in their house. Once they get past that, they're happy.
My shit is paying the bills, and they're still not happy.
Yeah. Well, they don't really believe it, though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You got to work on them believing you.
I give up.
I mean, they've always supported me. But they always,
Well, they're parents.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Does your pops into your music?
Oh, my parents love my music.
Yeah.
So, because, they're only like 40. My mom's, 40. I'm 25, so she's 45. My dad's 44. So they're still young.
Yeah.
Listen to the music I listen to.
Yeah. That's so cool.
That's something we've been finding more and more on this show, which is like a trip to us, like having parents that are into hip hop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So weird. Yeah, we've had a few like really younger artists too, where their like dad like literally showed them like Ice Cube or something. Like not anything that late, you know what I mean?
They're you would think like, that that's just like the immediate reaction of a kid is to like try to rebel against parents.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like your parents like hip hop R&B, so like you're like Fuck that. I'm going to play
listen to metal.
Yeah, metal. I was going to say smooth jazz, but it's not as far away.
I don't know. Maybe it stays in the loft for hip hop. Hip hop's really good. It's just good, man.
Yeah.
But okay, so what were your, let's talk a little bit about that. Like, what were your like musical tastes? Like, what phases did you go through musically before you started like dealing with hip hop and, you know, soul and R&B?
Like I said, when I was younger, my dad, he used to play like a lot of R&B in the West Coast. And when I mean West Coast, I mean like Snoop Dogg, Dub C, Ice Cube, all those cats. And then I was like listening to that. And then when I got into high school, you know, when you get into high school, you start to like learn yourself, explore different things.
You start to discover your body.
I got into marching band. And what's crazy is that when I started playing drums, And listening to music after I started learning to play drums, I started to hear things in music that I'd never heard before. It was a crazy feeling. And after that, I started listening to other music like jazz and like rock.
Yeah.
Like it was just...
Because the appreciation was different.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So.
And now what's a day consist of oh gosh, Leo, just play a personal playlist. What does that usually consist of?
Man, I wake up and when I get in my car and I'm playing... What do I play in my car? I play a lot of things, actually. Right now, I'm actually listening to a lot of Eastbound, or EMP. I'm not sure if you guys know who that is, but they're from, like, Canada.
Uh-huh.
There's this producer named Wonder Girl.
Uh-huh.
She's done stuff like Jay-Z and Travis Scott and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Those are, like, my favorite producers.
So are you mostly listening to instrumental stuff?
I'm always on SoundCloud just listening to producers. Yeah. So that's where I get most of my inspiration from.
Yeah, that's such it's become an amazing community, SoundCloud. Like I've recently talked to and linked up with some producers where I'm just like, man, they're amazing. And then I go on SoundCloud and I'm like, holy shit, everybody knows they're amazing. They got like 3 million followers. And it's such a cool community because I think on SoundCloud, the producers definitely takes the forefront a lot of times in a lot of these communities. And that's it's helped expand that out. Do you feel like when you're listening to rapping, right? Like you hearing like a rap album, is it hard for you to just focus on the words?
It takes me a while to actually like listen to the lyrics of the song. Like I'm always paying attention to like the instrumentation of the beat and stuff like that. But if I'm like listening to it over and over again, it'll probably take me like a month to actually listen to the song and what it's talking about. So that's that for me.
Okay, so what about for like a young producer right now? Like what if he's a high school kid, doesn't have a whole lot of means to acquire a bunch of stuff. What's a good jumping off point for them? If you had to give somebody some advice, here's some jumping off.
I would say what I started off with, my mom had a computer in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And of course it come with like computer speakers.
Right.
That's all you really need.
Yeah.
Cause like when I was making beats, like I wasn't using like a USB keyboard or anything like
that.
Yeah,
you're just using the keyboard.
Yeah, the keyboard on the computer.
Like Curtis.
Yeah, exactly. So that's all you really need.
The buttons missing and shit.
Yeah, that's all you really need. Is a computer. That's literally all you need. Computer and speakers and you're fine.
Yeah. So, nowadays there's so many like free programs people can get.
Man, and there's so many things you can get off the internet. It's ridiculous.
Right.
That's the main reason most people don't start though. Like they're obsessed with the idea that they need to do it the way that other people are doing it. Like somebody they've seen in YouTube videos or on TV, like, oh, they're doing it on Ableton or they're doing a lot. Like, I have to do it.
Or they have
that.
All this outboard gear, so I can't do it until I have that.
Yeah. And yet, like, we've discovered that with everybody we've interviewed that, the ultimate thing people agree on is just start fucking doing it.
Yeah.
I don't think we've sat with a single person who has said, no.
this is what you need.
I started out with a Nikon, you know, whatever, like a super expensive setup. No, everybody has had that attitude of like, it doesn't matter what the equipment is. You just start doing it.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like if I started off on Ableton, that's what I would be using right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is if that's what you want to do, just find a program, learn it, and then run with it.
Is everybody in, does everybody in the crew use Fruity Loops?
Yeah, everybody uses Fruity Loops.
Oh, wow. How convenient is that? Shit.
Very convenient. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, I'm the only one in the group using FL Studio 12.
Oh, okay.
But they all use FL Studio 9 and up to 11. But, I mean, when they come over here, we'll use 12.
Yeah.
But I'm the type of person that likes to upgrade everything.
To have the newest one. Yeah.
So.
Because you probably... Yeah, are you one of those people who likes to learn everything about the program?
Yeah.
We just had a photographer on the show by the name of Nerve. You guys are very similar. It's weird because it's two different art forms, but very similar. He's like one of those guys who has to he really learns everything about the camera and he wants to know everything about it. And then he's constantly looking for basically challenging himself. Mm-hmm. He just never really stops.
Yeah.
What about for you as
I gotta ask, FL Studio. Just technical geek question. Yeah. What is a good advantage to FL Studio 12 versus 10?
For one, it looks better to me. there's a lot of things you can do in FL Studio 12 that I can't even come up with right now. As far as like everything is faster in FL Studio 12. So as far as like mixing the beat in a you know, in certain things, in certain places, it's like the hotkeys are just a lot easier and it's just faster.
Hotkeys, really kids, learn that. Learn what hotkeys mean.
Yeah, hotkeys will save
your life.
You so much time.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, for those of the people who don't know, because I know what a hotkey is.
Yes.
I just want you to tell the other people what hotkeys are.
Hotkeys are pretty much like just shortcuts to doing certain things. So
yeah,
that's all it is.
It's a combination of keys that are programmed to a certain task.
Yeah.
Learn your tool.
Yes.
YouTube it.
Yeah. No, he said the same thing. Nerd said the same thing.
That's another thing. YouTube. You can learn a lot of stuff from YouTube University. Yeah.
Apparently, you can learn everything
on
YouTube.
That's what my friend and I have been calling it, YouTube University.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. Again, Nerd was talking about the same thing. He's like, that's my college. Mm-hmm. He's gotten to a point where he's like, I do 30 minutes a day, no matter what, on YouTube about whatever.
I'm on like lecture number 5 of an evolutionary biology.
Oh yeah, you're learning about evolutionary biology.
Yeah,
that's the crazy thing with the schools putting their lectures up. That's how do they not know that that's going to lead to their downfall for sure. You can find Yale and Harvard lectures on YouTube that are in full.
I mean, you still want to go be in that environment?
Do you really? Though?
Yeah, if I was,
what if you're trying to get paid?
20. I'm like 20 years
old.
Like,
do I want to go pick up some Yale girls, or do I want to get paid now?
Yeah, no, I know. I'm not a logical 19.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. Okay. So you're a real 19.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So let me ask you this, dude. Now on a personal level, when do you find yourself like the most creative? Like, what has to happen other than the trampoline, obviously? But what kind of headspace do you have?
That's crazy. It's funny. Around like nighttime, I don't think it goes for anybody. Around nighttime, that's when everybody gets a lot of inspiration. I don't know what it is, but it's just like a certain type of energy that you have when it's dark.
Yeah.
That's why I have the curtains up. Why I have the curtains up and I have these lights, like colors. I don't know what it is, but it does something to my brain.
Yeah. Wow.
And I'll just sit here and just create stuff. Like I have different settings. I can set it to like purple, blue. I can have it fade like the way it is right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He has two globes.
Balls.
He's got two balls on top of his speakers that are right now changing colors to
turquoise and pink and red. And that's funny because like most people try to spend money on like recreating sunshine in like their homes, but you go the opposite direction.
Yeah. I like it colorful in here with the lights. But yeah, that's what inspires me a lot. It's just like the tones in the room.
He just a boy, she just a girl. But things go right when there's nothing left. They rule the world, the planet. Sheriff in the terror where the roots need water. Paired with life from stars a million miles away so they can make the air of Earth. Seems was brought to a buck surf. People call it beach chick lane. He's the bird lion. Lives his life, all your ways is turned. And choose me when it's time to feast. When the feast pass goes back around. When the seed was planted, grows bigger now. Same plant, get harvested and repackaged. For the farmer's kid and the farmer's kid making symphonies. Music played in the baby's Johnson. When the birth is here, she gotta make the milk. She eat that plant from the baby's tongue. When the baby eats, the cycles come. We begin to end and then the cycle's done. We in the start, nothing changing but the order that go down. It's a bless up. Everything a matter as the master birth, you know it all come from the earth, so bless up. Mental, physical, the spirit plan to see from what you say and do, and reap from what they hear, and bless up. Bless up, 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 get down. Bless up, 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 bless up. Can you raise if you don't make them? Made a mate without internal incubation, stoking napalm, cause your honor and your highness make a minder in a climate with the cloud of monoxide with liquid dries and fire rises. It's bad when it really matters most. Yeah, desire, but would you lie to a guy of lacrimose and then deny that a ceiling don't need older roots to grow? Then what's the son? A childish martyr with a message to consolidate the hurt. Turn your sword from sprout to a bug, sir. Phoebe call a feet chick, lion eats the fur. Lion lives his life, vulture wastes his turn, then choose me when it's time to feast. When a beast fast goes back to ground, when the seed was planted grows bigger now. Same plant get harvested and repackaged for the farmer's kin, and the farmer's kin make it similes. You played as the baby drums, so when the birth is here, she gotta make the milk. So she beat that plant for the baby's son. When the baby eats and the cycles come, we begin to end, and then the cycle's done. We end the start and then change it, but the order that it go down in. So bless up. Everything a matter as the master energizes birth. You know it all come from the earth, so bless up. Mental, physical, the spirit plan to see from what you say and do, and reap from what they hear, and bless up. Bless up, 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 get down. Bless up, 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 get down.
Beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. I do, I did to love. Are you, would you describe yourself as like a spiritual person at all?
Somewhat, yeah.
Yeah, explain. Unpack that a little bit.
Explain yourself.
Let me see. How could I say this?
Is there a God?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I do believe in, God.
Okay. Yeah.
I used to be really religious back in the day. When I moved out to Rialto, which is where Curtis lives, I met one of my really good friends, which is also a producer now, Bruce Johnson. His family's super religious. I didn't really pay attention to it as much because I wasn't, like, brought up that way.
Yeah.
But then I met him and his family was, you know, raised that way. And I would, like, go to church with him every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. And I liked it. You know what I'm saying? And my parents, well, my dad, really, he grew up a Jehovah's Witness in his family. And I kind of grew up that way as well, but I didn't really pay attention to it. And my friend, she was Christian. And I would just, you know, I kind of, like, learned a lot of my moralities being around, you know, him. He was a very good, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like a litmus test?
No, not that. I can't even think of the word right now. But he was a good
role model.
Role model, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, he wasn't walking around smacking kids.
He wasn't doing anything stupid or a lot of stuff that kids do. Yeah. But he was a good role model for me. So you know, with that being said, that kept me out of trouble. I mean, not that I was ever getting in trouble, but my head was kind of in a horrible space before I met him.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying so.
Mm. What does that mean?
There's like a lot of things that I dealt with as far as like being bullied and living in certain areas.
Have you dealt with like depression and anxiety?
No. There's been times where I was like down, but I think, I mean, looking back at it now, I was just kind of like trying to figure out, you know, where I was at in my life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, like I was, like I said, a lot of things were happening around that time, before I met him, I was like being bullied a lot
because
I was quiet,
which
is something I also mentioned at earlier in the show.
Right.
I was quiet, so people were always like, you know, try to pick at me.
Easy target.
So I met him, and then I kind of like, he made me feel like I can be myself and not have to worry about, you know, what other people thought about me and, you know, all that stuff. So I just continued to just do that. Just be, you know, to myself.
And you were going to church with him for a while?
Yeah,
Is that what happened?
Yeah, I was going to church for him for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And then I stopped going. I don't know why I stopped going, but I just kind of like stopped. I go every now and then. It's been a minute since I've been, to be honest. But
so what is it now when you feel like, I want that feeling, you know what I mean? Because obviously something about going, and maybe not even necessarily the religion itself, but something about the vibe was affecting you. How do you recreate that now?
Being in being in church, like the presence, and everybody there, you know, for the same reason.
Sure,
it's an awesome feeling. You know what I'm saying? And I kind of get that same feeling here with the music. You know what I'm saying? Like
how the
music's being played and how I'm playing it, you know, and it's just like, I don't know. It's very filling.
You seem to, you're very good at figuring out what particular mood sparks off a thing that helps you grow, mm-hmm. and you can kind of look like lock in on that and go try to recreate it. Like, this is really interesting, the way that you have your room set up, mm-hmm. The studio. Like, you're aware that there's a particular time of day that makes you feel more creative, so you're trying to recreate that feeling.
Yeah.
In order to create more of that, is it something you've always been intuitive with, or do you remember like the first time you had that kind of thought process of like, oh, this mood works, so I'm gonna keep trying to recreate this thing?
Yeah, because like when I was at my parents' house, I would create at nighttime with headphones, mm-hmm. and then I don't know, for some odd reason, I can create all night. You know what I'm saying? So I think with me, you know, creating the room the way I did, as far as having the curtains up and, you know, having it dark in here with the lights, it just felt like it was nighttime. I never knew what time it was. I had nothing to distract me.
Yeah.
You know, I was just, you know, just do my thing.
Yeah.
With the vibe that I created.
Have you ever felt like, cause are you, do you feel like you're like a pretty introspective person? Like, are you in your head a lot?
Yeah.
So do you find that plus like something like this, where you're closing yourself off to the world a little bit, does it ever, like, what are some of the negative effects that it's had on your life? Cause I'm sure it's not always perfect.
Yeah.
Like, are there times where people feel you're not present or you're thinking about something else? Is it, you have a girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
Nice. You're moving with your girl. I'm sure that comes up, right?
About that, yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. I mean, that comes up though, right? That maybe you're not being present.
Mm-hmm. I mean, with your girlfriends, I'm pretty sure you guys have females in your life. You always have to give them time. You know what I'm saying? So I do spend a lot of time in here.
Yeah.
And that could be, you know, that could throw me off a little bit. But then I also have to understand, you know, where she's coming from.
Right.
Because
I can't just
just keep doing me. I got to give her time too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I love her. I can't just like pretend that she's not here.
Yeah.
You
know, she's creative.
Yeah. She is pretty creative. Yeah. She's a really, she's going to school right now for, what's it called? Sociology and law.
Yeah.
So she's really good at like writing and stuff like that.
Oh, that's
dope. She's a dancer as well.
That's dope.
Yeah.
How did you guys meet, by the way?
At a show. Yeah. We've known each other for a minute before we got together, but we've always seen each other. And, what is it? I just started inviting her over to like my sessions.
Yeah.
And we just had a lot of
fun. Stayed. Hi. Good move.
Yeah.
Good move. Wait, did you, have you been like a girlfriend guy throughout your life? Yeah. Always in a relationship.
Serial monogamous.
Yeah. Some people, I have a lot of good friends that just seem to, there is something about a relationship. Yeah. I mean, Arash talked about this before, cause you've been on both sides and you've talked about the positive negatives of both sides. And I do feel like there's some people like Eddie, our producer, mm-hmm. who I think he booked you for this. He's a serial monogamist and he's been one of those people who he just seems better in a relationship. You know what I mean? Like, not that he's a bad person or anything, but it just seems like, oh, that fills a certain part that he kind of always needs filled to just feel normal.
Yeah.
I
think that for me, it just keeps me focused. Like, I know when I'm single, I'm just like, all I do is like sit in here and I just don't care about anything. I just be doing music.
Yeah.
And I go wild and, you know, go to the shows. But,
yeah.
No, she kind of balances everything out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think it's perfect that, you know, I have a girlfriend, especially the girl that I have now. Like, she's amazing. You know what I'm saying? She's perfect. She likes what I do.
Mm. Yeah.
She's good. It's great.
That'd be crazy if she thought you were whack. She's like, I love you, but you're whack.
Yeah, she'd be a little, she's very straightforward and blunt, so she'd tell me if I was
wrong. Oh, that helps.
Yeah.
That definitely helps.
Have you ever, like, made a beat and had her listen to it and be like, no, this is shit?
No.
I don't think so. So far, so good then.
All right.
There has been a time when that's happened. I think it's only been one time. I don't know if she was because she was mad at me.
Yeah.
Or if she was just really not thought that. But
dinner ended up on your forehead, you're like, huh, I wonder if she's angry at me. It's weird.
And that song went on to be Big Pimpin'.
Man. Yeah, I've always been the relationship type guy.
Yeah.
It's less of a headache.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy out there, man.
Yeah.
It's super crazy.
I have a date after this show, actually.
Yeah? Well, the ratchets keep jocking, you know?
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah, word to Curtis.
Yeah, word to Curtis. You know? Dude, okay, so, like, moving forward, what's the vision, like, for, you know, for your brand in itself? You know, you're part of these other collectives, you work with other artists, but for you, what's the perfect scenario for you?
Honestly, right now, I'm still trying to figure that out. Yeah. Because I'm about to start school again.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to be having to balance out music, which is my work, and then school, and then my girl. You know what I'm saying? So,
Are you going back to school for music?
No, I'm going for kinesiology.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow, where did that come from?
Well, I mean, I like to, like I said, I like to go to Sky Zone. I like to stay, like, do active things, so.
Yeah.
Or stay active, I guess.
So
I
working with other active people.
Yeah.
Through kinesiology would be dope.
Yeah. I think it's perfect for me.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if I go for music, I'd be wasting time and money if I know it already. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah. In fact, again, Nerve, the photographer, he's going to go back to school too. And he applied to an art school for photography. Mm-hmm. And they were really honest with him. And they said, you probably wouldn't be learning anything until your last couple years.
Yeah, because
he's
year.
Already a working photographer. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're a working producer. Probably would be a lot of downtime.
Yeah.
A lot of you rolling your eyes in the classroom at the professor. Make your snare snap. So you're trying to figure that out. Because this is one of the things that I think a lot of artists, at least a lot of younger artists that I've talked to on the show especially, they're always having this weird, and rappers more than anything, you know, but they're always having like this weird push and pull between the art and the business, and what should I be doing? Am I sacrificing my integrity? What are your opinions on that? Because you've worked with rappers as well. I'm sure you. What I'm telling you, you've heard at least here and there.
Yeah.
But you're also a person who has a business. You, like you said, you're in this house because of your business. Mm-hmm. But you're obviously very artistic as well. How do you find the balance? Like, what is your advice to somebody who's sitting there right now, going like, "Man, I can never sell my shit because that's selling out."
Yeah. Well, it's definitely different for rappers and producers,
mm-hmm.
as far as like, you know, creating a brand and making a business out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess for me, I was always told just make sure you just keep it fun. You know, just do it because you love it, not for the money.
Yeah.
And the money will come. And that's how I've been living my life as far as doing music. I do it for fun. Even if I'm doing sessions for free, I'll just make music and then people always call me. Like today, I was trying to figure out how I was going to put gas in my car.
Yeah.
And I got paid online for a beat. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, like,
things always work out in his favor. So, yeah, I'm very faithful about what I got going on.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, I can't really give advice about that. I just do it for fun.
You just do it for you. And then I guess the lesson is just to try. And obviously, I know people are going like, easier said than done. But... Mm-hmm. Believe in yourself. Get to yourself to a place where you believe what you're doing matters.
So that's a good point. Because like I wonder, like you are as a professional musician, like somebody who is, you know, like I said, you're in this house due to the music. Do you look at other talented producers out there? Like you ever run across them and you're like, fuck, like you could totally be killing it right now. But here's this thing that's holding you back.
I look at a lot of people like that. I would never like.
What is the most common thing that you see holding people back?
Working. But you know, I mean, you always have to, you gotta have money to invest into certain things, so, of course. And I'm not gonna say that I never worked, because I did. That's how I got all my equipment, you know what I'm saying? But once I got the equipment and found my niche and started working and just taking it serious and having fun with it.
There has to be a jump off point, right?
Yeah. You're saying people working like a different job than the music?
Yeah, I started working at Jack in the Box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My first job. And I was producing at the time, but I didn't really have much equipment or anything like that.
Yeah.
And then once I started, you know, saving money and buying the stuff and just saying, you know what, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to just, you know, sell beats and make records and all that. Like, that worked out for me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And, like, even for, like, rappers, I feel like once they, you know, get their fan base and, you know.
At some point, you have to dedicate everything.
Yeah, at some point, I feel like you have to, exactly.
Yeah, it's, you know what, I heard a really cool, way of putting it. People, they say you have to, at some point, you have to sail the ship you made. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? You can't just keep it in the harbor forever. Like, it's just, how much more are you going to put into this thing before you sail it?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And granted, again, we've talked about it a lot on this show, that, dude, that part is scary. It's not supposed to not be scary, by the way,
because
you're talking about your life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a big deal. It is a big deal.
Yeah.
But if all you focus on is the fear part, that's all you'll ever focus on.
Yeah.
You know,
and I'm not going to say that I'm perfect. Like,
yeah.
I just like quit my job and things worked out. Like, there's been times where I've quit and then I had to get a job again because I failed the first time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But then I saw, you know, what I had to do to, you know, better myself and make money and stay consistent.
Yeah.
So,
it helps you polish.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's...
So there will definitely be downfalls, and that, everybody knows that. You know what I'm saying? You just got to just keep trying, just believe in yourself. And I believe, especially in the IE, there's so much talent out here. And a lot of people
really
I've worked with, like, they don't have to be doing what they're doing now to survive. They could be, be, you know, doing what they love.
And you think it's just a mental block? Like, they're not able to get past the fear part? Because really, that's what it comes down to, right?
Yeah, pretty much. It could be a mental thing. It could be, you know, security that they're worried about. You know,
That's a big one. I mean, you just said right now, I didn't know how I was going to put gas in. And some people, that scares the shit out of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, even having a feeling like that, they're like, it's just too much. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have that kind of worry. Because I definitely understand what you're saying.
That definitely, like, I struggle with that.
You just don't even like, you don't like the feeling of it.
Because I've had it as when I started my artistic journey, mm-hmm. I was looking it was also the same time the economy went to shit. So like, I was looking for work for like 3 years.
Yeah.
I was with my girlfriend at the time and like, we were real like broke.
Yeah.
Scraping by for like 2 or 3 years. And so now that like the steady income is there, and I am a professional photographer, like I am being paid to take pictures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's still like in a work setting where I have to be there from a certain hour to a certain hour, and that's like draining.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only thing about, you know, having your own, you know, business or whatever. Especially being artists like we are, you got to be available for everything, no matter what time. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
And that can be, you know, like you say, it could be draining,
mm-hmm.
and affect, you know, relationships with, you know, whoever, like as far as you having like plans with people and, you know, that can definitely be affected.
Because sometimes just showing up is part of the job,
right?
Yeah.
That's the tough part. I think it's interesting because I think a lot of the times where I'll see people make mistakes when they make the jump, mm-hmm. like they'll make a jump and much like you do when you were, you know, much younger, like you'll look for a job as opposed to creating one.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's a hard part because there are other skill sets you need to do that, mm-hmm. you know? And some people do it too early. Some people do it right at the right time. Like you said, you had to get another job and then try it again.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people, sometimes they don't ever want to do that try again thing because it was really scary down there, you know? But I think that also believing in your own self-development has to help, you know what I mean? Like you said, you're growing as a person as well. Like, you know, obviously you're learning all these different things. So I would assume that the second time around wasn't as scary because you had already tried it one time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that, like moving forward when schools, because I gotta assume that once school starts, that's going to be a whole nother world for you, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been there before.
Yeah.
I'm just going back. But it's definitely going to be changing a lot of things that I have got going on now.
Yeah.
Especially, like, I'm only going 2 days out the week.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to, like, you know, focus on music. And I got to do homework. And I got to study.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a lot of stuff that I got to take care of.
Yeah.
This is going to be one of those things where I just got to try it. You know what I'm saying? I just got to see if it's going to work out. And I know it is. I know it's going to work out.
Yeah.
Like I said, I have a lot of faith in what I got going on. But every day I'm scared, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As far as, like, I'm scared that I'm going to fail again.
I think that's important to say, though, man, because I think what some people do, like, say they listen to your work, they're like, oh, it's so polished, he's working with these artists, he has all this stuff, and it seems, because I've been there, being a young person trying to figure out how to get to that point can be overwhelming, because you... Mm-hmm. There's people listening to the show right now that are literally just counting the things that you're doing and going, man, how can I do that? Like, you know what I mean? It seems so tough. That's why I think it is important that you say, it doesn't mean that I'm not scared though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm still like you.
Yeah. We're all human.
Yeah. Yeah.
We all have bills to pay. I might not have as much responsibilities as the other person. Or vice versa.
But right.
I'm scared every day.
Yeah.
But I'm making it happen though.
It's all relative
to your
own life. What do people, what can people, and by the way, we're recording this, but people listening to this right now have been hearing your music throughout the show. What can people expect coming from this upcoming year from you?
Right now, I'm working on an album called For Me. Mm-hmm. I actually started working on this album 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And the reason why I was calling it For Me is because the last project I put out was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it was kind of like, it's just a beat tape I'm put out. But this time it's going to be an actual album where I have artists rapping or singing on it.
Yeah.
I've just been sitting on it for a minute, and I just want to make sure it comes out perfect.
Yeah.
Even though it's been, what, 6 years now? But it's going to be called For Me.
I can't even wrap my brain around the idea of working on a piece of art years. And then not showing people for 6 years. That's going to be insane.
Yeah, as soon as I can't wait to finish it. And I actually just started working on it again like a month ago. So I'm almost finished with it.
Yeah. How do you know when it's done?
Man, it's starting to feel good now. Before, it was just like, I don't know when I'm going to finish this. But now I'm just like, I can't wait to put it out.
You've seen the light at the end.
Yeah, pretty much. So, that's what I'm working on right now, for a project or an album called For Me. Me and Curtis is working on a new album as well.
Oh, wow, okay. And you guys have one out right now, Jubilee Year,
Yeah. What else am I working on? I have a few projects. I have a project with this rapper named Rhyme Scheme.
Yeah.
It's Rhyme Scheme. And Armageddon, he's actually a rapper, part of Terror Squad.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm working on, this is a lot of stuff. I'm working on a lot of stuff. I can just keep going. But.
And how can people, if they want to reach out to you, from just on a fan level and as a business level, what's the process? What should they be
doing? Oh, just hit me up on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Oh Gosh Leotis on everything?
Yes,
Oh Gosh Leotis. Spell it out for them really quick so they know.
Oh Gosh Leotis is OHGOSHLEOTUS.
There it is. Yeah. So, dude.
They can call you at random hours of the night if they want.
He's up there. He's all night.
Sometimes you just want a friend.
Yeah.
Sometimes they can come to the window and just knock.
Just hit me up whenever. If I don't see it at nighttime, I'm going to reply back to you the next day. So I'm actually kind of bad at that, but I'm getting better. Because I'm not a social media person at all.
Yeah.
But I'm getting better at it. Right. That's like one of my goals for 2017 is to try to
get your likes up. Get your likes up, son. Come on, man. We need you out there. You got too much talent.
Man.
Dude, thank you so much for being on the show, man.
Thank you guys for the opportunity.
It really has been, like I said, it has to be over a year now that we've been hearing your name pop up on the show, and you've made some of my favorite music of this last year. It's really dope. People, if you are listening, I know Curtis told you, go check out Jubilee Year. It's an amazing album. It's gotten rave reviews. And check out everything Oh Gosh has coming out this next year. I can't wait for that. Maybe you'll come back on and promote the record when it comes out. That'd be amazing. Let us know. And then thank you, dude.
Thank you guys. All right. Appreciate it.
Thank you. You may now flush the toilet.
platformcollection.com.